How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey there, welcome back to another Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Jay King. Jay King is now in Las Vegas, where the Utah champion Celtics head over to dominate another summer league. But that is a topic for another day. Today, we're talking about Al Horford and his introduction to the Boston Celtics. An NBA coach is going to weigh in on Horford in just a minute. But Jay, you know, today was the big pomp and circumstance and kind of appropriate for a low-key kind of guy. It was a low-key kind of press conference.
Yeah, it was probably as low-key as it gets because most of the reporters who cover the team are all in Las Vegas for Summer League. So it was guys who did not follow the team out here. So I wasn't there. A lot of other guys who cover the team on a regular basis weren't there. Al Horford didn't say too much interesting. He did say he thought Kevin Durant was seriously interested in the Celtics, which other guys in the Celtics organization have said it doesn't make it any better. Kevin Durant still signed somewhere else.
Almost makes it a little bit worse.
Yeah. What else? I mean, he mentioned Kelly Olynyk a few times. Big Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah,
fan.
How about that? The Kelly Olynyk gets name dropped. So you got Kelly Olynyk somehow inexplicably in the background of a photo with Tom Brady and Danny Ainge walking in to meet Kevin Durant, and then Al Horford name drops Kelly Olynyk a couple of times. Kelly Olynyk is a big key to the Celtics free agency.
He's low key friends with like everyone. He's like really good friends with Julian Edelman. I asked Evan Turner. He had like these ET sandals, like with the ET logo on them. And I asked him where he got them, and he said, "Oh, Kelly hooked it up. Kelly knows everyone." So low key, Kelly Olynyk is just a super popular guy, and no one understands it.
Well, you know, he does have that kind of like chill surfer vibe. You know, it's kind of like cool and friends with everybody. So I can kind of see it, but yeah, I guess so. Kelly Olynyk, more important to the Celtics, at least on a social level, than we realize.
Kelly Olynyk, the man.
The man. It's like Red from Shawshank Redemption. He's a man who knows how to get stuff.
Exactly like Red from Shawshank Redemption.
Totally the same guy. So Al Horford, still really officially not a Celtic at the time of this recording. He may be by the time this gets posted or by the time you listen to it. Still some contract details to work out, but minor things, I believe. So he will be on the floor with the Boston Celtics. And the founder of the Locked On Podcast Network, David Locke, he has a couple of podcasts. If you don't know who he is the radio voice for the Utah Jazz. He has the Locked On Jazz podcast here, but he also has the Locked On NBA podcast. So if you're listening to us on the Locked On Podcast Network on Audio Boom, click on that little network icon. You can find all of these. Click on Locked On NBA, and you will hear a podcast. The latest podcast is with an anonymous NBA coach.
And the coach really has some cool things to say about Al Horford. So here's that interview right here.
The big move is Al Horford to Boston. Put Al Horford in what Brad Stevens runs in Boston. How does it fit? What does it allow them to do?
He's obviously a great player. And you know, Brad Stevens runs a lot of pick and roll. They'll play him out of the post a little bit, in my guess, because Brad has some of that in his offensive system. But I think where you'll see best use of him would be with Ed Thomas and him in pick and roll actions. And once again, a little bit like Golden State, you know, Isaiah Thomas is just such a dynamic player when he gets, you know, in the key area and in the paint area. And then you got Al Horford, who can, you know, he does it both. A lot of times in our league, bigs are either rollers or they're pop guys. And Al is one of the guys that's unique that can do both. So Brad will very much utilize that part in the multi-dimension in the pick and roll with Al and make Isaiah Thomas, who's one of the most dynamic guys in the paint, even better.
How much has this changed them? Other than Olynyk, who could really pop and shoot, it didn't feel last year that Boston had a lot of guys that were threats when you handed, you know, gave a pick and roll to one of their guys and that you had to worry about the big a great deal. I don't know what they did to be able to overcome that, but how different does this make them?
Well, it goes back to the multi-dimensional. And, you know, the fact that you've got to be able to have different pick-and-roll coverages on a guy. Like, you know, there's one pick-and-roll coverage for when you play against a big who's just a solid roller and not a popper. And then there's another pick-and-roll coverage for a guy who's one-dimensional and who's just a popper. Well, the problem with a guy like Al Horford is he can do both. And, you know, so now you're going to have to, you know, pick your poison. And, you know, if you get into one where you're worrying about him popping, then he's going to start rolling on you and they'll, you know, they'll pick you apart. And, or if you're in the other one where he's, you know, you cover it for, you know, somebody that's a roller and he starts popping, then, you know, he's standing out there and, you know, his ability to grow into making threes has really made him a great, great offensive threat.
Do you look at Boston being able to threaten Cleveland at all with this lineup? Do they just threaten the Raptors? Where do you march them up the Eastern Conference standings with the addition of Al Horford?
I think they're better. I still think, you know, Cleveland and Toronto are really good. I think Boston will be more of a threat, and I think in regular season, I think they may, you know, they may finish in second instead of third, or third instead of fourth. They'll probably finish higher than they're probably capable of finishing in the playoffs next year. And I say this only because nothing against Brad Stevens and nothing against, you know, the Boston Celtics is that, you know, the playoffs become a veteran, become a shooting, become a superstar league at that point. And I still think, in my humble opinion, Boston, although great, is I don't know that they have those guys just yet to really be able to be a legit contender.
Hey, that was a pretty good conversation, and a lot of the stuff that we've talked about before, how he fits in the pick and roll. I like him with Isaiah Thomas a lot because you heard Brad Stevens talk about Al Horford's range extending out to three, which means that he can pick and roll and pick and pop and even jump way out to the 3-point line if it comes to that. And it really opens up a lot of options. And he's just, with his size and his ability to put the ball on the floor, on the roll, he's much better than what the Celtics have had. On the pop, he's still much better than what the Celtics have had. And I just like the way that he can be used. And you can do a bunch of different things. You can run like stagger screens. You can put Kelly Olynyk in there and run a double kind of pick and run some action off of that. Just so many more options with him on the floor with Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, according to NBA.com, he scored almost exactly the same amount of points per pick and roll as Amir Johnson, which was in the 80-plus percentile in the NBA. Really good. But he also did it almost four times as often as Amir Johnson. So he's just a much more productive option offensively. He can roll like Amir did. He can pop like Solinger did, except he's a much better shooter. So he's really a more dynamic offensive player than the Celtics have had at that spot, and a real upgrade. I do think Isaiah Thomas is going to benefit from having that threat on the court next to him. You know, we saw it sometimes with Amir Johnson when the pick and rolls with him and Thomas would look really, really good. But that was just occasionally. Amir, I mean, he's okay in pick and rolls. He's good when he does it, but he's not polished enough to go to that time after time. Horford is. Horford is really good in that. And as that coach said, you know, he goes inside, he goes outside. He's just a real upgrade for them. And at both ends, too. I think the one concern that the Celtics should have about adding him on the court right now is that he doesn't rebound well. And his rebounding has really fallen off the last few years. And because he's going to be probably taking Sullinger's minutes or some of Sullinger's minutes, at least, depending on what happens with Sullinger, then, you know, that's a huge downgrade from Sullinger, who was a top 15 rebounder in the league last year, or top 20 at least. So that's the one concern. Other than that, he's an upgrade everywhere.
So now the question is, though, what did the Celtics do about the rebounding? And that's one of the concerns. Like the coach said, you add Horford, which is great, but he's not going to elevate the Celtics to Cleveland status. And I don't think anybody here expected that to be the case. And it's like a fun thing for people to try to talk about, because people want to get challengers to Cleveland, but this doesn't do it. The next move the Celtics do will put them a little bit closer. Like, each subsequent move will put the Celtics closer to the Cavaliers and actually challenging the Cavaliers. That doesn't mean that the Celtics can't maybe get to the conference finals. They've upgraded their team. They may make some more moves. There is improvement within the roster too. Rozier's getting better. We'll see if Hunter gets better. We'll see if Mickey can get in there and become somewhat of a big off the bench that can contribute. And we don't know what they're going to do with Sullinger or Zeller yet. So there's still a lot to be done, but that rebounding is definitely going to be an issue. And Danny Ainge has said we need a stronger center. So I don't know where they go for that.
Yeah, and it is starting to feel more likely that maybe one of Sullinger or Zeller will return, just because the market for big men dried up quickly. It was like money was flying out for Mozgov. Money was flying out for a bunch of other guys. John Luehr got 4 years, $42 million. The contracts are just crazy.
I saw that up. Sorry, ESPN yesterday during Summer League put up a graphic that said they got what? And started listing all of these contracts that you just said, among others. Yeah, and they put Evan Turner's up there too, by the way, just to throw that out there. But yeah, that will be interesting. And now, to Danny Ainge's favor, if you're Sullinger or Zeller, take a 1 year deal and then just go back out next year and become unrestricted. And this way there's less of a chance that you're going to fall behind. And when you're unrestricted, you can just go out there and negotiate your deal and be done with it. There's none of this waiting to match and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and so it's a weird market right now for big men. Like Festus Ezeli, we were way off on him. We thought he was going to get a lot of money, and then he signed basically a 1 year deal with a team option for the second year. I think he made $7 million in the first year. So if you can get Sullinger back on a deal like that, sign him up. Sign him up immediately. You have front court depth. Yes, it'll hurt you if you wanted to play Jordan Mickey minutes. Yes, it'll make your front court a pretty crowded place, but you need rebounding. Sullinger's young, Sullinger's productive, Sullinger's good player. So yeah, if you can get him on that contract, you keep Sullinger. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with those two guys. There was a lot of trade speculation going on the internet yesterday. I don't know what started it, but it was like DeMarcus Cousins talk. A lot of DeMarcus Cousins talk I saw. The Comcast crew was Felger, Tanguay. They were all talking about DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know if he's available. You hear things around the NBA like people are speculating that because the Kings drafted so many damn centers, they might be open to trading him. But then you hear other people saying, I never know what the hell they're doing anyway. So I don't know. We'll see if Cousins is available. He's always one of those guys who's been on the market for like 5 years and has never left. So
he's like the Rondo. It's like the persistent Rondo speculation. Yeah. But look, I think when it comes to Cousins that he's not available now. There's no way he's available now. They just started to try to right that ship. Now, I don't know what Vlade Divac is doing. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, but they made a good coaching hire. So they've got Jaeger out there trying to connect with Cousins. They're going to give them a few months to see if they can connect.
And one thing about Jaeger, he has a track record of dealing with guys who are tough to handle.
Right. I mean, Zach Randolph.
Last year he had Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Lance Stevenson, Matt Barnes. Like just a ridiculous number.
Yeah, that is head case central. But, you know, he's good at that. You're right. He's good at that. And I think that's part of why they hired him.
Because and it was probably unfair to Tony Allen that I lumped him in there. He has matured quite a bit from when he was
young. Yeah, no, it's true.
Sorry, TA. I didn't mean it.
It's not. He's not like Matt Barnes is crazy. And Lance Stevenson is nuts. But
Matt Barnes literally fought an NBA coach last year.
Yes.
Off the court.
Yes, he did. Drove a long way to do it. Had time to change his mind. Didn't. But he got into a fight at a pro-am or something. He's not right.
I would say he probably didn't get in a fight. He probably just yapped and yapped and yapped and didn't end up fighting. That seems more like Matt Barnes.
That's true. That's more Matt Barnes-ish. But Jaeger is going to have an opportunity to connect with Cousins. And if that doesn't happen, then we may see the trade rumors start again as early as mid-December when all of these new signings are eligible to be traded. So if that really starts ramping up in December, you know that that connection hasn't been made and they'll try to pull the trigger quickly. I would assume that it may go to the trade deadline. If he lasts past the trade deadline, then they're just going to keep him because he's a top 10 talent, maybe a top 5 talent when it all is going right. That guy can shoot. He's extended his range out to 3. And that if he makes that a more efficient shot, that guy can do everything. He's like the basketball equivalent of baseball's 5-tool player. He can do everything. He's just so disruptive. He's running down the court in every game looking like he smelled a fart. Like he's just so pissed off at everything that it diminishes his actual performance. But if you remove the attitude, he's one of the best players in the league. So they're going to give him that chance. I don't think he's available now. The things that people threw at me on Twitter was back to the Philly thing, back to the Okafor, back to the Noel, but mostly Okafor because he seems to be the guy that they're going to move. And I just want to explain myself a little bit because I got the would you trade James Young and Terry Rozier for Okafor? And I said no. And I had people coming at me like, what are you, nuts? And it's not that I don't – Okafor is talented. I'm not going to deny that. But – he doesn't solve any of the big man problems that the Celtics have. Long term, he doesn't play defense. He doesn't rebound. And he's young, and maybe he'll learn to, but he never has. And you have this feeling that I have this feeling that he may never, ever learn to do that or care to do that. So why would I give up a guy, a perimeter player, who is now going into his second year, is showing nice signs of progress, is a player that maybe we can start counting on in the next 2 or 3 years. You know, Rozier has a lot of skills that if they develop properly, he can shoot. His shooting's getting much better. He can handle the ball. We see his decision-making's getting better. He can play D. He's fast. He's a great athlete, great rebounding guard. So I think that in that scenario, why give up the promise of a guy who fits more in today's NBA and moving forward to get a guy who crowds the front court and doesn't solve any of the problems?
Terry Rozier, untradeable after 3 summer league games, 3 great summer league games. I will say this. I don't think I'm as high on Terry Rozier right now as you are. I don't think I'm as low on Jahlil Okafor as you are, especially with Horford. There are, right now, the way Okafor plays, there are very few guys he kind of fits with. Horford might be one of those guys because Horford defends the rim and Horford shoots threes, and Horford would give him space to operate down low where he's a monster. If you get him in one-on-one situations, that guy can really, really score the ball. And he has a lot of growing up to do. He has had a knee issue last year. So there's a lot not to like. But the things he does well, he does incredibly well. And if he does develop a defensive mindset, and maybe he would in a different situation than playing on one of the very worst teams in NBA history with about maybe two or three NBA caliber players as a rookie, maybe he'd change. Maybe he'd grow up under Brad Stevens. Maybe, you know, he's got like a 7'6 or 7'7 wingspan, something ridiculous. He's got all the tools to become a pretty good defender at least. So I do think sometimes his weaknesses are overblown because they're so obvious. And also, I mean, it is true. He has some tough weaknesses to overcome. As we've seen lately, mobile big men who can guard in switches are huge. I do think, though, it's also huge to have an awesome offensive player in the low post, drawing double teams, kicking it out. And I think he's going to become that type of player. So I think, if you only had to give up those two guys, yes, I'm in on Jahlil Okafor. And I do think he would work well with Horford. Were there other names? I mean, yesterday, I feel like there was so much trade speculation going around. Just trade speculation everywhere, out of the blue. I love the summer, man. The summer's so much fun. It's just like, throw out some names, chat about them, see if they would fit, and then probably they'll never be on the Celtics.
No, not at all. Yeah, well, look, Alex Kennedy had the tweet the other day about after all the free agent signings, this would be the week that someone told him in the NBA that the trading will start to happen this week. So it makes sense because this is where all of the teams have signed the big free agents. Teams that were pursuing those free agents that missed out are now sitting there saying, okay, how do we fill this hole that we have? We tried to sign player X. That didn't happen. Now we got to try and do something else. Plan B is to go for a trade. And this is where everybody starts talking. So I wouldn't be surprised. And obviously, Danny Ainge is armed with picks. He's got Jaylen Brown, who he may be trade bait. I mean, he's only played one game, but you got the number three pick in the draft. You've got picks moving forward. You've got good young players. And as much as we joke, I say that Rozier is obviously not untradeable. I just wouldn't trade him. I'm not looking at Okafor. I'm just not, because I, like you said, I just don't think he fits. I don't think he fits what the Celtics are trying to do. So that's my attitude. Maybe he'll sign. Maybe they'll trade for him, and I'll change my mind. But I think they would go
untouchable. Terry
Rozier, completely. Look, he led the Celtics to a championship. You don't just trade that guy away, man.
I mean, that is true. He did lead them to a championship. Banner 18.
This is the patented John Corrales hot take that reviewer loves so much.
I can't wait to listen back to this podcast when Okafor is in the Hall of Fame. No, I will not give up Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier out of the league in 4 years. Jahlil Okafor giving that Hall of Fame speech.
To be fair, I'm starting to get pretty high on Rozier too. I think he's had a really good summer league, and he's improved in all the right ways. So we're just joking around a little bit, and I don't also think Okafor will be a Hall of Famer, but who knows?
Well, look, you know, I've said what I had to say. I've said what I had to say about Rozier. I like where he's going. I just like where he's going, and I think he kind of fits what the Celtics need. And look, we just talked about the trades. If the Celtics make a trade, I mean, maybe Rozier is a guy that gets thrown into a trade, but maybe it's a guy like Avery Bradley, and that makes Rozier much more important because he would have to step up. If Marcus Smart slides into that Avery Bradley role, then Rozier might be more pressed to make a stronger contribution, depending on what the deal is. So let's see how these things shake out. I don't know how they'll shake out, but a lot of names are out there, and we might start hearing about them in the following week. So for now, it's Vegas. For now, the Celtics Summer League juggernaut moves north to Las Vegas, Nevada, where Jay King is ready to bring us up front, up close and personal coverage of the Celtics. So until
Vegas is such an overwhelming place,
I love Las Vegas. I love it.
I just get so overwhelmed. I can't deal with all the people, man. It's just too much. Give me Boston. Give me the quiet streets of Boston. A nice restaurant. Give me El Centro in the South End, man. That's all I need in my life. I don't need all these casinos and stuff. Although I did win $150 yesterday.
Nice. Boom. Nice. What did you play?
Action.
We're playing poker.
I'm a poker player. I'm a pretty good poker player. I don't play those other games because I just lose, man.
See, this tells people a lot about our personalities. You want the quiet, you want Boston, and you play poker. Poker is a very steely, focused, you know, everybody's quiet, everybody's reading each other, everybody's trying to, you know, get the jump on one another, that type of game. Me, I love Las Vegas. The lights, the glitz, the glamour. I love that stuff. I play blackjack. Social game. I play craps. Social game. Everybody's high-fiving. Everybody's yelling. So I'm the loudmouth jerk. And, you know, you're the steady rudder focusing forward. That fits
Terry
our personality.
Terry Rozier is the untouchable point guard.
Right. Terry Rozier. Look, I can't wait to listen back to this podcast when Terry Rozier is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go. Flipped it on me.
All right. I like it. Let's end this right here. A lot of fun. Again, go back and check out that Locked On NBA podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you don't know how, when we're tweeting out these links or when you find it on Mass Live or Red's Army, go to the Audio Boom site and just click on the Audio Boom Locked On podcast logo. It's on the left-hand side, and that'll take you to all of our podcasts. Every team that's starting up. We're ramping up this network. We're going to have podcasts from every team, hopefully, by the time the season starts. Lots of great names are joining. And David Locke does a great Locked On NBA podcast. So check that out. Check out the network. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a rating. 5 stars, of course. And, yeah, subscribe. That'll do it here on the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.